Oh, trying to do all that. All right. Good job. Oh, my. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 14. We read this scripture last week, and we dealt with the first part of it, part one, which was only verse one. Today we're going to go verses 2 through 6. Last week we talked about strong faith, today we'll be talking about a secure future and a firm foundation. So, as you read these six verses, this whole chapter 14 is awesome. This is a promise to the believer. So, Jesus letting us know, we shouldn't let our hearts be troubled. I got so caught up into the song, I almost forgot the slides. Okay. All right. Beginning with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places or mansions or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Now Thomas said to the Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how do we know the way? And Jesus gives the right answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, or but through me. So why is faith in Jesus the cure for heart trouble or a troubled heart? And I've given much thought to this, just the very beginning of that, do not let your heart be troubled. And I think it's because Jesus is uniquely qualified. He was qualified. God sent him to this earth for that purpose, to die on the cross, and leaving behind a promise and a covenant to all of us, speaking there to the disciples, because they were there in his presence, and they was troubled. And we are troubled when we know things that are coming up, when we lose loved ones, our hearts are troubled, we're grieved and sorrowful. But Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled, and he is qualified to tell us this. As the God-man, he offers us the best of both worlds. As a man, he understands our circumstances, and we all have those. We've experienced circumstances in our lives. Knows how we feel. We don't always know how each other feel, but God knows how we feel at any given moment of our life, and he understands the pressures and the temptations as well as fleshly weaknesses. Hebrews chapter 4 says infirmities, which is our weaknesses. So, Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We sin. Jesus never sinned, but he yet was tempted and chose not to sin. Now, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Why would he say that? Because he understands what causes our hearts to be troubled. He knows that. He understands that. We don't ever have to wonder why God knows that, because he knows the ins and outs of our life. And on the other hand, as God, he has the power to do something about it. So we can go to him and we can ask for his help at any time, and he knows how to deal with it. He has the power to do something about it. Jesus knows the problem, and he is the solution of our problems in this world. He began his ministry by being hungry, yet he is the bread of life. And that's why Jesus said, I don't live by bread alone except what proceeds out of the Word of God. Now, he was talking about the spiritual things, the spiritual hunger that this whole world has. Of course, we go physically hungry. We get hungry, and we usually deal with that. We take care of it, don't we? We eat to satisfy that hunger on the physical side. We should take the bread of life that Jesus offers us to satisfy the spiritual nourishment, our hunger in our lives. And Jesus is adequate to do that. See, Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet the Bible says he is the living water that flows unending. Yes, Jesus was weary, yet he's our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is the king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet what did he do? He cast out demons, didn't he? Amen. Jesus wept. John 11:35, Jesus wept because of Lazarus when he died. He had compassion. He looked out upon the people and saw their grieving and their sorrow that they were going through. And yet he wept with them. And yet he wipes away all of our tears. And that's going to happen one of these days when we get to heaven. We'll be reminded of all those things we haven't confessed in this life. So if you haven't confessed everything, if you're not up to date now, do that, because you will be confronted about that. But after that, Jesus will wipe away all tears and never to remember those again. You won't remember them anymore. They will be erased from your mind. You will give no thoughts to the things here on this earth after Jesus wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Very compassionate, isn't it? For the sin that's rampaged through this world, and he was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and then he redeemed the world. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. He died, yet his death, he destroyed the power of death, the sting of death, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. He is my light in the dark night, my comforter in troublesome times. Jesus is my friend when I am alone, and my strength when I am weary, and my guide when I've lost my way, and he is the cure of my troubled heart, your troubled heart. And that's when he says, let not your heart be troubled. And see, Jesus is the object of my faith. He's the object of your faith. All of this is evidence of God's love for us. Now, there was a dad, he was working on a roof, and he asked his son on the ground to bring up the hammer to him. And the son picked up the hammer, climbed up four rungs of the ladder. Halfway up, he froze. How many of you done that? Halfway up the ladder, you freeze. You can't go any further. Well, he couldn't move. He looked down and was afraid that he might fall. He began to look up, and he began to feel dizzy. His dad says, look at me and keep climbing. See, that's what Jesus is telling us today. Look at me. Keep climbing. That's why he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, last week we talked about strong faith. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Okay? That is generating strong faith. Jesus says, I want to build faith in your life. If you believe and trust in me, your heart will not be troubled. Then, now, this morning we want to look at a secure future in verses 2 through 4. Now, he's talking about heaven here. Jesus is talking about heaven. And heaven, I want to tell you, it's a real place. It's a real place. Now, let me tell you, it's as real as South Ripley, right? But it looks a whole lot different. It's a different place. It's not just a state of mind. See, we will have glorified bodies there. Hard to comprehend that. You know, Jesus, after he was raised from the dead and went back to the Father to be glorified, see, he could enter rooms with closed doors. They could be locked or whatever. The disciples, can you imagine me sitting in a room, be talking, and all of a sudden Jesus is standing there, and the door had not been opened, disturbed, and he was looking right at them. That's what called a glorified body. There, and they will touch down in real place. We will really touch down in real place. See, my future is secure. Your future is secure. When you know that, it makes the journey down here easier. When I think about that, I think about Rand Hooten. In the last few days and so forth he went through, thinking about that, he was secure. He was secure in his faith, and that made his journey here easier to let go. And that stands for all of us. See, heaven is a certain promise. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Rand knew that. I'm sure he's read that, I don't know how many times, he probably even preached it a lot of times. See, that's what makes our time here secure, when we believe what the scriptures is telling us here. See, life can be tough. Life is tough, isn't it? How many of you had a perfect week this past week? How many of you had a tough week this past week? But see, you don't have to worry about things like that when we are secure in Jesus Christ. See, I won't minimize your hardship. I don't want to minimize any of this. And I think, not to think mine is a piece of cake, that, you know, our lives are a piece of cake. But I can tell you that if it's a lot easier to carry your cross down the road in this life when you know the road that leads to a far better place. And that place is heaven. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, for our light affliction. Now, it says light affliction. Many of you might think heavy affliction. And sometimes we do experience those same. But it says, which is but for a moment. Now, that moment can spread out for many years. But that moment is nothing compared to eternity, which is forever. Years, years, and years, and years. Never ending. So, for our light of affliction, which but for a moment worketh for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Boy, that makes an Episcopalian shout. Ought to. Ought to make a Baptist shout. Now, there's a woman, she lost her daughter to cancer. And of course, it's always heartbreaking when we lose a loved one. And soon after, she was taking a train to California to see her other daughter. Going down the tracks, the engineer noticed something lying on the tracks. And immediately, he put on the brakes of the train. And the train stopped just short of the object. And everybody else, of course, you know, momentum of the train to stop, everybody went forward, and everybody was gasping and for breath and trying to hang on for dear life. But this lady, this lady here that lost her daughter, and someone turned to her and said, "Aren't you scared? Aren't you afraid?" She says, "No." She says, "I'm on the way to see my daughter. I'm on my way to see my daughter. I always have a daughter in heaven. I already have. She passed away. She's in heaven. I figured either way, I'm going today to see my daughter." That's a good answer. See, it makes a difference when you have a strong faith and you know that your future is secure. And that's why I can always say Jesus is the object of our faith. He's always the object of our faith. See, the Bible refers to heaven as a country, a city, which is a population, a kingdom, which is in order. But my favorite reference to heaven is that it's called home. I refer to Psalms 23, verse 6, where it says, "We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Dwell means home, a place we call home. Now, in my Father's house, see, that's what makes the difference. And it doesn't have to be a mansion. The word mansion or abode, whatever your translation is, a room, it means abiding place. It's where you're going to be. It's where you're going to spend eternity. It's where you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father is what makes it home. And home is where our heart is. You know, I hear many of you say, "I like to go places. I like to go, you know, on vacations and places like this. But I like to come, return home, because there's no place like home." Well, when you see heaven, you'll say, "Boy, there's no place like this place, heaven." It's where you are treated the best and love the most. Why? Because you feel at home. You know what? There's a lot of things that the Bible mentions that won't be in heaven. No tears, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no prescriptions, no hospital visits, no doctors, none of that thing. You know what? There will be no complaining either. All of that will be gone. All the things of earthly manners will be gone. Yes. So we looked at strong faith, and we've looked at a secure faith. Now let's look at the stable foundation, verses 5 and 6. The second law of thermodynamics is in the science books, right? When I worked at the Space Center, we worked on MHD, magnetohydrodynamics, which is fluids and chemicals we tested and so forth, and some of them were solid state and so forth. But things are winding down, losing energy, and etc. Things aren't getting better, but worse. I mean, you can see, I'm not trying to be negative, I'm a very positive person, but you look around. And that's why Jesus is preparing for us for the best. This is not the best here on this earth. We're going to see the best one of these days. And And so it is with our world spiritually. Everything that is not nailed down is blowing away. You look at it, it's blowing away, and the devil is pulling up nails as fast as he can. We need a stable foundation. If not, we are troubled physically, and the same is true spiritually. If we don't have a stable foundation, we will be troubled emotionally, and that's always seems to be in our hearts. And what is the cure for a troubled heart? A relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus doesn't teach the way to heaven or point the way to heaven. He says he is the way to heaven. That's why in verse 6 he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, Jesus doesn't direct us to heaven. He takes us there. He takes us there. If I need to go somewhere I haven't been, how do I normally get there? Well, most of the time Brenda's with me. She gets me there. But do I use a GPS? How many of you uses GPS? How many always gets there by the GPS? Iffy sometimes, isn't it? And maybe sometimes the GPS lady's voice isn't clear and her directions is not always adequate. That's why you got to update. Got to keep it updated. Then we have man's directions. And this is what I used to go by when I was younger and so forth. And especially you live out on a farm and you live back country roads and so forth, using south-southwest and turning 50 yards before the seventh light. Nah. Are there other directions that are better? Maybe. Do you go to the water tower? Where do you go from Walmart? You know, somebody say, go here, go to Walmart, and then turn. Which lane should you get into? I have problems with that sometimes, especially when there's multiple lanes, when the sign is over here and you need to be turning right, that can be confusing. And should I turn at the house on the corner? And what color is it? Is it a colonial? Is it country? Or is it Cape Cod? This word can be confusing sometimes, but Jesus makes it very clear and very plain when he said, and see, Jesus doesn't tell us the way. He literally takes us that way, the way. And now for him, to be the way means that excludes all other ways that people believe. See, Jesus, again, is the object of our faith. He should be the object of everyone's faith, but I'm afraid that he's not. See, the Bible says, narrow is the way. And there's one door, and the only one. Truth is always narrow. Error is broad. Broad is the way, the Bible says, it leads to destruction. But if you want to take the narrow path, which leads to eternity, then we must take the road that Jesus has prepared for us. See, I'm not being judgmental to say non-believers are going, to a destructive place called hell. I'm just agreeing with God, who, by the way, is the only way who can get us to heaven. He's the only one that can. And that's why he says, let not your heart be troubled, because I'm preparing a way for you. I'm taking care of your future. Your future is going to be secure. You're going to have a stable foundation if you trust and believe and stick with me to the end. See, as a sinful man in a sinful world, what amazes me is not that there's only one way to heaven. See, the Bible says Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the way. In verse 6, look at it with me. In verse 6 it says, I am the way. Without Jesus, there is no going. And then verse 6 says, I am the truth. And without Jesus, there is no knowing. And then verse 6 says, I am the life. Without Jesus, there is no living. There is no living apart from Jesus. See, that's a stable foundation. And as we conclude, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And that's the stable foundation of Jesus Christ. And as we look at the conclusion, if you have a troubled heart, see, Jesus will heal it. You know, we go to the doctor for a physical elements in our life and so forth, and we look for healing or something that will help heal us in our life. But Jesus heals the heart spiritually. See, a strong faith is not about you. It's about who you have placed your faith in. And then your future is secure. No matter what happens, your road leads home, which is built on a solid foundation, standing on the promises of God. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I used this verse last week, and it kind of goes along with a little boy that was going up the ladder. Halfway up, he froze, and his dad said, look at me and keep on climbing. And that's what this verse is so good to remind us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I could spend a long, long time just on this passage of Scripture. John chapter 14. Often used in funerals. Often used when you're discouraged, not knowing the way. And I often use this when I'm witnessing to someone who is lost, because it gives them a direction. It gives them a strong faith, a secure future, and a solid foundation. And if you have this, you know, that's why Jesus says, you don't have to worry then. Let not your heart be troubled. So if you're here this morning, because many of you have already taken that step, Jesus already is preparing a home for you. And you know, I've always thought about this. When your home, your house gets finished, that's when he's ready to call you home. And he hands it to you. The deed and all. This is yours. This is what you've been living for. This is how you've been serving me all of these years. Now enter in to your rest. But it's just not going to be rest only, is it? It's going to be serving. You know, I can see Ren already up there serving today. Can't you? Yeah. He's already walking the streets of gold. Yes. He knew what was. He knew in his heart. When I was talking to him, and just the day before he passed away, I was there by his side. Not really corresponding to anyone or anything, just maybe occasionally. Before I left, I prayed with him, and I said, Rand, brother, I love you. And he moved his head and kind of moved it. And that let me know he understood. He was safe and secure. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, I urge you, I plead with you to take that step and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have a strong faith, a secure future, and a strong foundation when you do that. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the faith that you give us. Through faith, we are saved by your grace. It's not by works, lest any man can boast, because it is the gift of God. And we are created unto good works, to be good workmanship. And Lord, we thank you this morning that you offer salvation to everyone, just not to Jews, but all to the world, to Gentiles, to all of us. And Lord, we that are Christians here, or believers in Jesus Christ, Lord, may we claim that promise as well. Oh, it is awesome to know of your great love. And may we in return show our love to you by claiming your promises and living those promises. Whatever the decisions are today, Lord, make them clear, even for a child to understand. Because you love children. You reach out to them because you know their hearts are tender. And as we get older, sometimes our hearts get harder. But Lord, you can still penetrate that with your sensitivity of your Holy Spirit. And when we open up our hearts, Lord, you can do miraculous things. So we pray this day, this service, this invitation now, someone will walk this aisle, take that step to accept Jesus Christ. Maybe someone's looking for a church home. And Versailles Baptist Church is a place you want them to be, to serve, to fellowship, to worship. Or make that clear as well. We want your will to be done. And you'll make that clear. And when we accept your challenge, and when we accept what you're leading us to do, then we'll make the right decision. Lord, we praise and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 364.